Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the crisis in California, where the governor faces a budget shortfall twice as big as projected due to declining tax revenues. Mark Paul, a former deputy treasurer of the state of California and author of California Crackup, How Reform Broke the Golden State and How to Fix It, joins us to discuss why the legislature can't raise taxes and further deep cuts are being made at the expense of the poor. Then we'll examine the disconnect between the American public, a majority of whom want to cut military spending, and the Republican Congress, who refuse to cut it even though they've signed off on automatic cuts. Stephen Culler, political psychologist and the director of the Program for Public Consultation and a senior researcher at the Center for International Security Studies, joins us. He has done a survey that finds 3/4 of the respondents favor cutting defense as a way to reduce the deficit, including 2/3 of Republicans as well as 9 out of 10 Democrats. Then finally, we will speak with Roger Lowenstein, the author of The End of Wall Street. He is a veteran financial journalist who wrote for The Wall Street Journal for more than a decade and now writes for The New York Times and Smart Money. We'll discuss the latest excess on Wall Street and how the Dodd-Frank reforms meant to rein in derivative trading have been watered down since the crash of 2008. And joining us now is Mark Paul, who is the author with Joe Matthews of the book California Crackup, How Reform Broke the Golden State and How It Can Be Fixed. He was formerly national editor and editorial page editor of the Oakland Tribune and deputy editorial page editor and columnist at the Sacramento Bee. In 2004, Mark Paul was appointed deputy treasurer of the state of California. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Paul.
It's good to be here, Ian.
And I imagine you wouldn't want to be deputy treasurer of the state of California today.
No, I don't think anybody wants to cope with California's fiscal situation from inside of government. We have had a decade of fiscal crisis in California with no end in prospect.
So this, of course, all comes down on Jerry Brown and the idea that they've made 100 billion cuts within the past 4 years. They've curbed spending and boosted taxes temporarily to bridge this deficit of more than $100 billion, and then his projections of what the deficit would be were about 50% under. That's got to be a big shock.
Well, it's not entirely a shock. I think most people who closely follow the budget, understood that the budget passed last June. In Sacramento, had a very aggressive forecast for how much revenue might come in. There was a sense that we had cut so deeply. I mean, schools, in California, we've laid off 11% of the teacher force in the last 3 years. There was a sense that we were, people didn't want to make much deeper cuts and hoped that the money would come in. And of course, unfortunately, it hasn't come in as aggressively as they forecast last June. So we're faced with the same dilemma that they faced last year, which was, whether we we cut and how much we raise revenues.
So we're talking about $4 billion in terms of wishful thinking.
Roughly. And some of it was, there were just some things that also that popped up. Some parts of the budget were blocked in the courts, which added to the current problem. In California, basically has a budget gap, a structural budget deficit of roughly 10% of the budget, 8 to 10% of the budget. We've had that for most of the last decade. Goes up in bad years, but we still haven't figured out how to close that.
So, Mark Paul, again, former deputy treasurer of the state of California and the author with Joe Matthews of California Crackup, How Reform Broke the Golden State and How It Can Be Fixed. How different is what we're talking about here in the state of California than what's happening in Europe in terms of the notion of austerity and its relationships to revenue? It seems that the minute you start imposing austerity measures, your revenues dry up. And isn't that what's happening here in the state of California? Or is this all still the continuing fallout from the 2008 Wall Street crash?
It's a combination of things. Certainly, you know, that we have in California in cutting the budget over the last 3 years after the recession. You know, when you lay off teachers and cops and firefighters and other people, you slow the demand for goods and services in the private economy as well. So some of the slowness that we're seeing in the economy, both here and around the nation, is the result of austerity policies, both federal and state. Part of it, though, that California has unique factors that have to do with the two-thirds vote requirement for raising revenues, the initiative process, which is, you know, has readily been used by voters to increase spending for various things without providing any of the revenue to pay for them. California has, you know, parts of its budget problem are unique to its own system, and part of it is just the result. We've had this problem, Ian, for 10 years. I mean, it coming out of the crash of the dot-com boom at the beginning of the 21st century opened a big budget hole in California. And we realized that we'd enacted all the tax cuts in the late 1990s, all of a sudden found ourselves with the dot-com boom having gone away with this structural budget deficit. And we've basically spent the last decade, kicking the can down the road is the technical term in Sacramento, patching over the problem every year and hoping that something will come to our rescue.
So tell me, though, when you look at these cuts that the governor is now proposing and the Democrats are unhappy about it and the Republicans who have basically been in this luxurious position of being able to say no and effectively veto everything. I mean, it's a pretty surreal political system in California where the minority party gets to basically tell the majority party what they can do because of these supermajority requirements. It flies in the face of the logic of democracy. That's California's problem, isn't it?
Well, that's certainly a big piece of it. That we in California have a tax ratchet that turns only one way. A majority of legislators can cut taxes in California, and they have frequently over the last 15 years. But it takes a two-thirds majority of legislators to replace that revenue when we need it. And of course, the legislature has been unable to get a two-thirds majority to permanently up the tax base. We had some temporary tax increases in 2009, but those expired last year.
So in terms of what the governor's proposing, where he's cutting $880 million from CalWORKS, which again serves low-income families and children, $1.2 billion from Medi-Cal, again, that serves the poor, $453 million from child care subsidies, et cetera, et cetera. There's no question that balancing the budget is going to be on the backs of the poor. And it then leads you to the same, and of course the same argument's happening at the federal level. The Republicans are refusing, for example, to cut a dime out of defense spending while wanting to cut back on food stamps, et cetera. So at the federal level, at least in terms of the Republicans in the House, they don't believe in sharing the pain. They want it all on the backs of the poor. Is there anywhere else in the California budget that would be analogous, Mark Paul, to the defense budget? In other words, is there some other low-hanging fruit that's not going to hurt the poor?
Well, it's generally not. I mean, the one part of the budget that had grown rapidly, you know, over the last 15 years was prisons. But last year, the budget, Jerry Brown and the budget, began to reverse that. We are now reducing the number of people in state prison as part of his realignment program last year, and so the share of the state budget that goes to prisons is also now declining for the first time in a couple of decades. So it's just the reality is that California state government, you know, is now as a in relationship to the size of the economy is the smallest it's been since 1972, since Ronald Reagan was governor. And yet, even after all those cuts, it's still, there's not sufficient revenue to fund that level of government, which is why the governor is seeking in the November ballot the temporary tax increases.
So the only then, to answer my question, the only low-hanging fruit to compare to the federal budget, with defense being sacrosanct and going after Medicare and food stamps, etc., the only other kind of, you're talking about instead of the military-industrial complex being sacrosanct, the prison-industrial complex has been sacrosanct, but no longer. And there's, I guess, is there any way to cut it further to make these cuts fair and balanced?
There's probably, in the short run, you know, it is probably very difficult to cut back much more on prisons at a faster rate than Brown has proposed. It would require, you know, we need to, you know, if we rethought in California how we do criminal justice from the, you know, from the street, from the cops on the street up to the prisons and the courts, I'm sure that we could find, you know, ways of doing it smarter than we do. I mean, it is, public safety is the second largest thing that government does in California, after education. But the reality is that the two biggest, overwhelmingly, the two biggest pieces of the budget are education and health care. We have cut in both areas, and it's very difficult to see any way of balancing the budget that doesn't involve further cuts in those areas, unless we go back and restore the level of taxes that we had previous to all the tax cuts.
Well, my understanding is you mentioned the courts. Haven't they taken some fairly substantial cuts in the courts that, you know, if you have to pay a traffic ticket, you have to wait in line all day nowadays, you know?
Everything is in California in the last 3 years has taken major cuts. So it's we have diminished the level of public services, and you know, we're seeing the consequences. The Public Policy Institute of California was out with a study last week that, you know, that reported that the percentage of high school graduates going on to 4-year colleges in California has declined quite sharply. That's a result of the cuts we've made in higher education, the increases in tuition and fees at the higher education institutions, and that is, you know, devastating for California's future to see that trend continue. But that's where we are.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Paul, who was Deputy Treasurer of the State of California, and he's co-author with Joe Matthews of California Crack Up, How Reform Broke the Golden State and How It Can Be Fixed. So it seems to me that the villain in the piece here is Howard Jarvis. It's the idea, I mean, not that there wasn't some public outcry against property taxes, but Prop 13, which brought in these supermajority requirements that have hamstrung the state and prevented any realistic raising of any revenues. Meanwhile, you know, the benefits of Prop 13 have largely gone to industrial real estate and big apartment building owners and not necessarily the people that were supposedly going to be helping in the first place. And that has dried up the revenue sources for the schools. And California was dramatically changed by Prop 13. And he's a hero to some people. But, I mean, this seems like social Darwinism. I don't know why people think of him as a hero.
Well, certainly the two-thirds vote requirement has been a major impediment, as you described. It creates a system of minority rule in the legislature with regard to most everything having to do with money. The cuts, actually, though, the tax cuts that have hurt, you know, now have actually been enacted more recently. I mean, the elimination, or the deep cut in the vehicle license fee, the card, so-called car tax. In 97, there was a cut in income taxes. We've cut the corporate income tax rate and changed it in various ways that have reduced revenue. And we've seen this kind of across-the-board tax cutting that from in the late 90s, and we've never really come to terms with the fact that we've cut the tax base. One estimate is that if the taxes were at the same levels as 1997 in terms of tax rates, the California would have about $13 billion more revenue this year, more than enough to close the budget hole.
So this has all happened in the last few decades, because I was trying to make the point that prior to Prop 13, California had one of the leading education systems in the world, and now it's down there with Mississippi. And so as the Golden State's storied education system deteriorated, the prison industrial complex rose. And it just seems to me that that's a tragic story in itself.
Well, it's certainly, you know, California's decline in its willingness to invest in education and infrastructure, transportation, and the like, are going to have even longer term consequences for the state. The research shows that in the 21st century that the quality of the education of the population and the quality of infrastructure are the two most important determinants of economic success. So we have in California cut back on that investment, and we're going to, I think, pay a big price for that if we don't reverse course.
So just in closing, Mark Paul, why can't the governor make the points that you've made, that if we were just back to what we were in 1997, we'd be able to balance the budget? So all of these giveaways to corporations in the last decade ought to be reversed.
Well, he's gone at least part of the way with his proposal for the November ballot to temporarily raise rates, particularly on high-income earners. So we're going to have part of that discussion in California this year. It's, you know, he bit off a small piece of the problem. I think, you know, in Sacramento, the wisdom is entirely driven by polling, and I think what he chose to do was entirely, you know, driven by what they felt like voters could accept. But it's the best, you know, that we can hope that this year is with the Brown's tax initiative that we'll at least be able to stabilize the budget situation, albeit at this very low level of services for Californians.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Mark Paul.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Paul, who's the co-author with Joe Matthews of California Crack Up, How Reform Broke the Golden State and How It Can Be Fixed. He was formerly national editor and editorial page editor of the Oakland Tribune and deputy editorial page editor and columnist at the Sacramento Bee. In 2004, Mark Paul was appointed deputy treasurer of the state of California. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment talking about the sacrosanct military budget.